Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome back to another episode of the Madhouse Podcast. As always, I am your host, Mad Max. Today's episode, we're going to be talking about the 2023 film Oppenheimer. This is a long overdue episode. I finally got a chance to watch it. It's on Peacock right now. This movie was directed by Chris Nolan. It's based on the story of the father of the atomic bomb, person who worked on the Manhattan Project, J. Robert Oppenheimer. And this movie has a plethora of actors and actresses who make up the cast, but the main characters throughout this film centers around Cillian Murphy, Emily Blunt, Matt Damon, Kenneth Branagh, Florence Pugh, and Robert Downey Jr. Now, this film, since they announced it, you know, it had been announced early in 2023 or late 2022 that the next Nolan film was going to be something special about Oppenheimer and, you know, the formation of the atomic bomb and things like that. But there's a lot of instances in this film where, you know, the movie centers around the aftermath of the hydrogen bomb, basically, and then, you know, the formation of the Manhattan Project, and, you know, just a lot of stuff that goes on during the fallout during World War and everything like that. And this movie is both almost like a thriller, almost like a super spy film, almost like a crime, I won't say a crime drama, but like a political drama and things like that. And I gotta say, I was blown away by how great this movie was, from the ideas that from Oppenheimer's early days in college in Germany and things like that, all the way to him, the formation of this, and him kind of being used, so to speak, by the government. And I gotta say, it was really something special. The first thing I wanted to touch on was the fact of both Cillian Murphy's performance is really, really well. It's well put together, and you almost have this, I think what Nolan did in this film was to create this unbelievable sense of wonderment and this unbelievable sense of awe. Like, it almost, and one thing I kind of took from this moment, and like in the first half of the film, from when they announced what they're going to do, and it's the introduction of Oppenheimer, and he meets Leslie Groves from the Manhattan Project, played by Matt Damon, and then, of course, his wife, played by Emily Blunt. You know, you have all these characters that they introduce, but the one thing I will say about this film is that this movie had a little bit of earmarks on what Jurassic Park was played on. Like, if you go back and watch the movie Jurassic Park, the scene where it's the Jeff Goldblum scene where they're at the dinner table and he's, you know, thinking about, you know, what we're doing here is not something to kind of behold. You know, like a lot of films kind of tend on that trope, like they're on the verge of discovery, and, you know, like John Hammond says, how can we be on the verge of discovery and not act? And Jeff Goldblum's response was, yeah, your scientists are so caught up on what they were doing, they didn't stop, you know, are so caught up on whether or not to decide if they could do it, but whether or not if they should. And with Oppenheimer, it really kind of goes, it stems from that. Like, nobody, when Oppenheimer's putting together the team that is really, really, is putting together a team of physicists and chemists and people who work with dynamite and things like that, nobody really knows what they are going to do until the very last minute. Everybody is so caught up on whether or not they can do it, they don't ever stop and think they should do it. and things like that. So then, it was it it another movie that kind of comes to mind like that is Ultron, the Avengers Age of Ultron with Robert Downey Jr. And when he says when they're creating Ultron, when Tony Stark and Bruce Banner are creating Ultron, it's like, I don't want, he goes, I see a suit of armor around the world. I don't want to hear the man wasn't made to metal medley. And this is not what that is. And you're, the ambition is what drives you, but you're looking at it from a safety point of view. You're, and the same way Oppenheimer is, create this bomb and this weapon of mass destruction before the Nazis get to it and things like that. But by the time they realize what they're doing is wrong, it's already too late. The irony in these, like the two comparisons that I had with this film was the fact that Ultron, the Avengers Age of Ultron stars Robert Downey Jr. And Robert Downey Jr. gives an amazing performance in this film, Oppenheimer. And he's up for the Academy Award for Best Supporting Actor once again, as is Cillian Murphy for Best Actor and things like that. And then, speaking of Jurassic Park, I just remembered that in the movie Jurassic Park, Dennis Nedry's character, like if you go back and watch his movie and when he's hacking into the computer and things like that and getting his thing set up to kind of carry out his own plan, there's the picture of Oppenheimer on his table, with the guy in the pipe and everything like that. And I thought that was a cool kind of correlation and things like that. But this movie, I think Nolan has always been a master. Like when you see the movies that he does, I think since The Dark Knight Rises, like almost every single movie that he's done is on 70 millimeter, 120 millimeter, and on IMAX. They've never done something like that. And I think he's the only director that has done that. He's made the film especially for the big screen. I wish I would have seen this movie in the theater. I was in the comfort of my own home. I got my own, 70-inch TV where I can watch my 4K TV where I can watch all these movies and everything like that. But seeing the movie like this definitely needs to be seen on the biggest screen possible and things like that. But this was a damn good movie. The way it, the twists and turns, like the first, like the movie is 3 hours long. The first hour is the introduction, is the introduction of the of all of the character of Oppenheimer and what his plan is. The second hour is them carrying out that plan and not really worrying about and not really caring about the ramifications at that point. And then of course the big climax is, they set off the bomb and everything like that. But the third hour is the fallout afterwards and everything like that, where, Oppenheimer realizes that they had no, the government had no intention of caring, of listening to him, because Oppenheimer did want to continue and make another hydrogen bomb, but the government wanted to bomb Japan, even though there's no, Oppenheimer had says a number of times in the film and in the book, if you've read the book, but he said in the film, once the Germans surrendered, that was it. They wanted that, that was the end of the war, because Japan had no intentions of care of finishing where the Germans left off and everything like that. But the government, the United States government, wanted to make sure for a fact that it was going to go, it was going to sway, it was going to sway in their favor. So when the bombings of Hiroshima and I can't remember the name of the other place in Japan was bombed, and a lot of people died and everything like that, that's kind of where Oppenheimer's conscience is called into play. And he's like, I didn't create this, to I didn't create this to be a murderer, to be a murderer, or to, slaughter millions of people. We did this with the intention of, we did this with the intention of making sure that we only use this once. Like Tony Stark says, the best weapon you have is the one you only have to fire once. And I think that was Oppenheimer's plan. He had no intention of testing it on with human subjects in the way. But at the same time, it's like, the government had their other plans. The government saw this as an opportunity, like, all right, we'll give him what he wants, but once it, once he served his purpose, we don't need him anymore. And then that's when the whole fallout between Oppenheimer and Robert Downey Jr.'s character kind of come into play. And then throughout the movie, you see a lot of people play in this film that are there for a brief moment, but they have some pretty important scenes. Like Rami Malek's character is in there, Jason Clarke's character is in there, Gary Oldman is in this movie. He plays the president. I think he plays President Harding, I think, because I don't remember who the president was after FDR. When Franklin Roosevelt passed away during World War II, can't remember who came in after him. I don't know if it was Wilson or Harding or one of those guys. Not really keen on the American president history at that point and everything like that. However, they do make a reference that, some people who did follow in Oppenheimer's footsteps was like a Senator John F. Kennedy and things like that. And, they used it for peace rather to be an instrument, rather to use it as an instrument of peace, they looked at it as a tool of war and everything like that. So, this was a great film from beginning to end. It's a movie that you legit have to sit down and watch without any interruptions. Because that was my biggest thing, because I was watching it at home, my kids were going away for the weekend to go spend some time with some other family, the other side of the family, and things like that. And I was like, okay, cool, I'm gonna have the house to myself. I'm just gonna sit here, I'm gonna watch this movie all the way through. Because my biggest thing was a movie 3 hours, and it's been critically acclaimed at this point since it came out back in July, and it's already up for many Oscars already. I was like, I have to watch it from beginning to end and things like that, because I didn't get a chance to see it in the theater. I had plans to, but they never fell through and everything like that. But I think having seen it now, I'm like, yeah, this is a really good movie. And if there's a chance, and I know, I think sometime coming up they do have the movies that are nominated for Best Picture returning to the theater. So whenever they start doing that, I think I'm gonna go check out Oppenheimer in the theater and everything like that. And I think everybody in this film was on top of their game. I see why Cillian Murphy is gonna get his Academy Award nomination, as is Robert Downey Jr., and as is fucking Chris Nolan. Nolan, I think ever since, shit, I wanna say ever since The Dark Knight, he's been making films that have been up for Best Picture, because I think The Dark Knight was the first. Well, I mean, The Dark Knight won Best Supporting Actor and things like that. The Dark Knight Rises won Best. It didn't win Best Cinematography, but it was up for Best Cinematography. Inception, Interstellar, Dunkirk, and I want to say that's it. Those were the only films that Nolan had done that were up for Best Picture. And all of them fantastic movies and things like that. But this one really, really is saying something. And the fact that this is the film that the Academy has chosen to give Nolan his Best Directing Academy Award nomination, I'm like, dude, he should have at least five of those already, if not at least one win. I would have gave him Best Director for, fucking Inception. I don't say I have a favorite movie. And I don't say I have a top 10 favorite movie, but if I had to pick a top 10 favorite movie of all time, Inception is definitely one of them. And shit, I might even put Oppenheimer in this film as well. But this was an amazing film. If you have Peacock, definitely check it out. If it's still playing at your local movie theater, definitely go check it out. This was a great movie. A great performance from all the characters, great directing, great writing, great cinematography. Everything about this film is it's just firing on all cylinders. This kind of felt like the return of the old movie stars, of the old big action films. Because in the 90s you had movies like Independence Day and Men in Black and the big movies that hit the theaters and everything like that. And we didn't end for a long time. Like in the 2000s we didn't really have that. We had a bunch of It was the rise of the superhero film, and then it was also, the looks into the return. It was the return of Star Wars in the 2000s, and then it was animation had kind of gotten better, and then in the 2010s there was a lot of those dark and twisted. It was more of an artsy form of entertainment, because you had movies like Ex Machina was coming out, the not The Gift. What was the name of that damn movie with Joel? Is with Joel Edgerton and Jason Bateman. I think it's called The Gift or something like that. I can't remember what it's called. But then a lot of those movies were coming out, and then of course, the rise of Marvel happened in the late 2000s. But since then, it kind of got fatigued because if it wasn't a superhero movie or if it wasn't a movie that had already been established, you never it kind of got swept under the radar. COVID kind of took away a lot of films and everything like that. But with Barbie and Oppenheimer, this was the begin. This is the changing of the guard. This is now, okay, an original IP that's not based on a comic book, or it's not an established universe or an established franchise. There's something there. Barbie, Barbie kind of did the same thing. They took an established IP and made an original film. Oppenheimer, even though it is based on the book American Prometheus, it still felt new. And the fact that if there was one director that could definitely do it was going to be Christopher Nolan. A lot of people didn't. A lot of people give him shit for the movie Tenet, but I thought that was a great film. But this film really outdid itself, and it had a lot of hype going into it. And Cillian Murphy nails it in this film. And I've always been a big Cillian Murphy fan. Whether it's his films, whether it's his TV shows, he's always like a main staple in Christopher Nolan's film, because he was in the Dark Knight trilogy, he was in Inception, he was in Dunkirk. But you got to look at other movies like, A Quiet Place Part Two. If you've ever seen the movie Sunshine, definitely check that movie out. Or even a movie like Red Eye. If you have not seen, any of those movies, definitely check out those. Cillian Murphy, and then obviously Robert Downey Jr. is an amazing actor himself. Even outside of the MCU, if you've seen movies like Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, The Soloist, The Judge, a lot of movies like that came out around the time his Iron Man run had begun, and thus forth, coming forward and everything like that. But everything about this film, if you have not seen a lot of those films, definitely check it out. Watch Oppenheimer and then go check out those other movies. And then of course Chris Nolan's, directorial, his catalog is amazing as well too. If you have not seen movies like The Prestige or Memento or Insomnia or Inception or Interstellar, Dunkirk, if you've seen any of those films outside of the Batman trilogy, definitely give him something to worth definitely give him a watch. He's an amazing director and everything like that. I cannot express enough how great of a film. 9 out of 10. I think the only reason I give the movie a 9 out of 10 because there's a lot of moments in the movie where it kind of just dries out a little bit. To where it, we could have done without that. Like some of the stuff with Casey Affleck is in the movie as well. Some of his stuff could have been dialed back just a little bit, and everything like that. But to say that, it works to an extent, but then again, it works in a storytelling aspect. But at the same time, there are some of those things in the movie that you can maybe come, get around. And not, necessarily have to do all that. But I mean, nonetheless, it doesn't take away anything from the movie as a whole. It's still a damn good movie. I'd probably watch it again, when I get the chance. Like I said, if it does happen to hit the theaters, I'm definitely gonna go and check it out again. So if you have not seen the movie Oppenheimer and you have Peacock, definitely check it out. It's worth the watch. If it's playing in your movie theater, go see it in the movie theater. And like I said, I can't stress that enough. A fantastic film by a brilliant filmmaker who has a top-notch, top-tier, all-star cast of a movie and everything like that. It's just wonderful. It really is. If you're a movie buff like myself, you'll definitely check it out. But that's going to go ahead and do it for today's episode. If you like the episode, be sure to follow the podcast on all podcast outlets, whether it's Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Pandora, Google Play, Odyssey, Reddit, wherever you're getting your podcast from. Be sure to follow the podcast on all social media outlets, Instagram and Twitter. The Madhouse 21. Let me know what you guys thought about the movie Oppenheimer. Where do you rank it in the movies of 2023? Where do you rank it in, you know, Christopher Nolan's incredible catalog? Whatever the case may be, let me know. Instagram and Twitter, The Madhouse 21. Be on the lookout for more episodes as they come out. We are finishing up the Equalizer series. We have on the third and final film, we have the WWE Elimination Chamber coming out on Saturday. So be on the lookout for that. Be on the lookout for anything and everything that has come out of this podcast. And of course, as always, be sure to embrace your inner madness.